It's good to be with you this morning. It's been a while since I've been in Northside United Methodist Church. I was here for Ralph Hughes' service. Some of you may remember Ralph. Ralph, I think, was like a charter member of this church. He and Juanita moved to Malden. They started attending the Malden church. But when he died, he wanted to come back here and have his service here. So I was here for that service. And anyway, it's good to be with you. I appreciate Rachel inviting me to come and bring this morning's message. I met Rachel through her husband, Griff. After I retired from Buncombe Street, Covenant offered me a part-time job or to fill in for someone until they found another person for this particular position, and they told me it would be about 3 months. Well, about 11 months later, they finally hired somebody else. But anyway, so I got to meet Rachel, and she's a sweet person. I know that you're fortunate to have her here at Northside. The summer before my senior year of high school, I had the opportunity to attend the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Camp in Black Mountain, North Carolina. It turned out to be the most important week of my life. Even though I was raised in the church, it was the testimony of these professional and collegiate athletes that opened my eyes to the reality of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That last night of the camp, after the evening program was over with, I went back to my room, and in the privacy of my room, I asked Christ into my heart to be my Savior. It was a very emotional, moving, powerful experience in my life that night. A life-changing, a life-altering experience. That night, June 6, 1969, somewhere between 9:30 and 10 o'clock, I began my faith journey with Christ. And soon after that, I realized that salvation is not the finish line, but rather the starting blocks. It's not the end of something, it's the beginning of something. The first step in an endless and adventurous walk with Christ. For over 50 years now, I have been walking with Jesus, and it has been truly an adventurous walk of highs and lows, ups and downs, of meeting great and wonderful people, of God bringing me under conviction, of God lifting me up. The walk is an amazing thing. It really is. You know, I guess if God's purpose was to get us to heaven, he'd just save us and take us then, like he did Enoch. But there is a journey that God wants us to be on with Christ. In our scripture reading this morning, Paul says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus your Lord, walk in him," or continue to live in him. The word walk in this verse is a word that implies a consistent, continuous way of life. That of living a life that is focused on and centered in Christ. Living each and every day conscious of his presence and his will for your life. This word walk also conveys the idea of a deep, close, personal, progressive relationship. A relationship that is the exact opposite of someone that you have a casual relationship with. You see, for Paul, walking in Christ is a steady, progressive effort of letting Jesus become everything to you. Of letting Jesus become everything to you. You're at that point in your life. Have you reached that point somewhere over your faith journey where you are progressively working so that Christ can become everything to you? So what does it mean to walk in Christ? What is it about? What does it look like when a person walks in Christ? Well, first, walking in Christ is about an agreement. In Amos 3:3, the question is asked, can two people walk together unless they are in agreement? Now, when one or two people or three people walk together, there are at least three things they must agree on, right? When you walk with someone, does anyone walk with anybody during the day? When you walk with someone, there are at least three things you have to be in agreement on. First, you have to agree what? In the direction. You have to agree on the pace. And you have to agree on the distance. And a failure to agree on, to fail on one of those three things will compromise the walk. Will make it, leave it almost to a point that it's an uncertainty about it. You know, if you went to walk with someone one morning and you said, well, I think I want to go in that direction. Well, no, I'm going in this direction. You're not going to walk together, are you? I think I'm going to walk real fast. Well, I'm going to walk slow. Well, you're not going to walk together. I believe I'm going to walk 2 miles. I'm going to walk just a mile. So you're not going to walk together. So you have to be in an agreement if you're going to walk with someone, right? Now, if you have a walking partner, a friend, an acquaintance, there's a good chance that you can come to a mutual agreement about the walk. You can debate, discuss, you can negotiate the direction, the pace, and the distance. But when Christ is our walking partner, the agreement about the walk is only mutual in the sense that we agree that Christ, that He and He alone makes the choice about the direction. He determines the pace, and He decides the distance. And there's no debating, no debating. Why? You know, since Christ has great wisdom and knowledge and understanding, far superior to mine and to yours, I really think if I had any input about the walk, I would just lessen the effectiveness of it, don't you? I decided a long time ago in my walk with Christ, Christ, you decide, you choose the direction. You decide what the pace is going to be, and you decide the distance, because it'll work much better for me if you do. You see, if Jesus chooses the direction, that means what? We will always be going in the right direction. We'll never be going in the wrong direction. There's all kinds of directions we can go in life, and people are going in all kinds of directions. But when Christ chooses the direction that we're going, we can always trust and know that I'm going in the right direction. And if Christ sets the pace, then I know that I won't lag behind and lose interest in spiritual things, nor will I forge myself ahead and make some very costly and timely mistakes. And when Jesus decides the distance, the length of the space and time, I know that every experience that I encounter in life will always stretch me and challenge me, but never push me beyond what I am capable of. I can trust that. So in my walk with Christ, in your walk with Christ, what direction do you want to go today, Lord? What direction will you have me take? What's the pace going to be like today? It's going to be a little slower, going to be a little faster. And how far? How far? I know it's going to be just enough to stretch me and challenge me. But you won't push me beyond my ability presently to deal with whatever it is. I can trust that. And so, first of all, to walk in Christ means to be in an agreement. So this morning, if you're walking in Christ, there are at least three things you need to be in agreement with about Christ. The direction, the pace, and the distance. Secondly, walking in Christ is about becoming. It is said that we become who we hang out with. That is, the people we spend the most time with shape who we are. They fashion our thoughts. They determine our priorities. They form our character. That they make us better. They make us worse. Sometimes I would tell young people when I was a youth minister, tell me who you hang around with and I'll tell you who you'll become. Right? Tell me who you hang around with and I will tell you who you become. Because the people we hang around with, their qualities and their habits are going to rub off on us, right? That's why we should always surround ourselves with people who will lift us up and not tear us down. People who will love us and not hurt us. People who will appreciate us and not use us. It is so important that you and I understand the meaning of hanging around the right person. I learned a long time ago that I want to hang around Christ. I want to hang around Jesus. I want to talk to Him. I want to read the Word. I want to be in worship. I want to be in service. I want to stay in connection with Him. Because why? Because we become who we hang around with. It's impossible for you and I to become the person God wants us to become more Christ-like, if we don't spend time with Christ. Walking with someone is usually doing what? Spending time with them. My wife Marion and I, especially when we lived in Malden, she would say, "Now, Jay, I want you to go walking with me today." Now, throughout my life, I've always stayed in shape. I've always exercised, lift weights, and run. I never liked walking until I got in my 60s. I always liked to run. But I eventually found out why Marion wanted to walk with me. Now, I do want you to know that she chose the direction. She set the pace. And she determined the distance, and I didn't question it. But it was about spending time with me. It wasn't about the exercise. There's something meaningful about spending time with the right people in your life. We had these rockers that sat out on the front porch in Malden. I don't know about you, but I hate sitting in rockers. And so sometimes Marion said, "You know what I want to do, Jerry?" I said, "No, honey, not that, not that." "Yeah, I want to go sit in the rocker." I said, "Oh, God." And you know why Marion wanted to sit in the rockers with me? Because when we were in those rockers, there was nothing there to distract us from each other. No TV, no computer, no children, just us, just us. Walking in Christ is about spending time with Christ so that we can become like Christ. You'll never become like Christ if you never spend time with Christ. Thirdly, walking in Christ is about our safety. What? It's about our safety. In Ephesians 6:12, Paul tells us that as Christians, we will always be under constant attack. We will always be having to defend ourselves against the dark forces of wickedness and the evil powers of this world. And that the only hope we have of survival is putting our faith and trust in Christ, who is our protector and our deliverer, the one who will safeguard against the evil tactics and strategies of the devil. Paul talks about it through Christ, that God has put on us His armor. Remember that in Ephesians? That we put on the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And the thing we need to understand about this armor is this armor is only effective according to our walk with Christ. Now, there's nothing wrong with the armor. It's not defective. It's always sufficient. But you and I have a tendency not to rely on it when we're not walking close with Jesus. We have a tendency to think that we can handle all the problems we have. We can face whatever is out there. But I want to wear the armor of God, and I know the armor of God is most effective when I'm walking step in step with Christ. Each piece of that armor works more effectively when we trust in Christ to be our strength and our power. So when I walk with Christ, when you walk with Christ, we're walking next to someone that can keep us strong and keep us safe. And not only walking with Christ keeps us safe from the dark forces of wickedness, but also walking with Christ keeps us safe from ourselves. You know, sometimes we can be our worst enemies, can't we? And why is that? You know, Wesley said that when we become Christians, that sin no longer reigns, but it still remains. Paul tells us that in Christ we become a new person, but he doesn't tell us that the old person rolls over and dies. The sin is still there. The old person is still there, and they still want their way. Now, in the Old Testament, the Jews believed that the old age would come to an abrupt halt, and the new age would begin from there. But Paul believed that they would run parallel with each other for a period of time, and there would be tension between them, tension between the old and the new, between righteousness and sin, between good and evil. And if we're not careful, that sin, that evil, can sometimes rear up its old ugly head and make us do something awful or stupid. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need Jesus to protect me from me. You ever thought about that? Sometimes I need Jesus to protect me from me, because that old person is still there. The sin no longer reigns, but it still remains. I know that God has created a lot of good in me, but sometimes I'm shocked by the evil I might see. Remember Paul's words in Romans, the 7th chapter? The things that I want to do, I find myself not doing them. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing that. Who shall rescue me from this body of wickedness? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. You see, Paul realized that as Christian persons, that you and I would live in a time of tension between good and evil, between righteousness and sin, between the old and the new. And if we're not careful, we could be our worst enemy. We could let the sin or the evil take place in our life. I don't know whether you know that the name Gordon MacDonald. Gordon MacDonald was the president of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship in the mid-80s. A wonderful Christian man, wrote a number of great books. One day he was doing a commencement service at a college, and one of his friends in their conversation asked him, said, "Gordon, if Satan was to ever blow you out of the water, what would it be, you think?" And Gordon said, "Well, I guess it could be a number of things." He said, "But I do know this. I know that he cannot hurt me in my relationships, because there's where I am the strongest. My marriage, my children, my family, my friends, there is where Satan cannot get me." A year and a half later, he had to resign from being president because of an affair he had had. There's no sin that you and I may not commit if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus. Because sometimes you and I need Jesus to protect us from ourselves. Because sometimes we can be our worst enemy. So walking with Jesus is about safety. It's about Jesus keeping us safe from the powers of darkness. It's about Jesus keeping us safe from ourselves. And the closer we walk with Jesus, the safer we are. Remember, if we take our eyes off Jesus, we may fall on our face. We may fall on our face. Now, Gordon is a man who has repented. His marriage was saved. He has rededicated his life to the Lord. He's written the book about his own failures. But he tells people, be careful, be careful. You never know when you might be the one that Satan attacks. So stay close, stay close. And finally, walking in Christ is about the journey, not about the destination. I've always been kind of amazed sometimes that people think about salvation is going to heaven and not going to hell. And that's true. I believe in the reality of both. I was so glad that when I became a Christian that night on June 6, 1969, I'm so glad that that night I was not thinking about heaven or hell. My salvation had nothing to do with either one of them. I could not believe that God loved me that much. I could not believe that God sent his son to die on the cross for my sins. I could not believe that God loved me to that point. And that love was so powerful and so amazing, I could not reject it. And I embraced it. And I did find out I'm going to heaven and I'm not going to hell. That's a good thing. But you know what? If there was never a heaven, I wouldn't change one thing about how I worship and serve my Lord. Because my worshiping and serving Christ, I don't ever want it to be selfish. Because sometimes I find Christian people view of their salvation pretty selfish. It's about me going to heaven. I always want my salvation to be not about me, but about God, about Jesus, about the cross. That's what I want it to be about. Because there it makes a difference. So the walk with Jesus is not about our destination. It's not about going to heaven, even though that's a reality. I had this little lady, Miss Mamie, in one of my churches when I was younger. And I know one day Miss Mamie said to me, she called me Mr. Temple. She said, Mr. Temple, when I die, I hope I go to heaven. I said, Miss Mamie, aren't you a Christian? She says, yes. I says, where else can you go? So heaven is fixed. That's where we're going. But me becoming more Christ-like, that's still up in the air, isn't it? How much like Christ I become, that issue has not been settled yet. And so the journey is that process in which God takes our life and begins to move us and transform us and change us and make us into the image and the likeness of Christ. You see, that's why we want to walk close with Christ, because I want to be transformed. I want to change. I want to grow spiritually. I do believe the journey is about two things. First of all, the journey is about my devotion to God, because the journey wouldn't be much of a journey if I don't live a life devoted to God. That means worshiping God, reading and studying God's Word. It means being out in service, doing things in the kingdom of God. It means singing and praying. It means all these things. You know why? Because when I do those things, I stay soft and pliable in God's hands. I'm soft clay. So as I make this journey, God can mold me and shape me into the person he wants to be. If I quit reading my Bible, if I quit worshiping, if I quit listening to Christian music, if I quit being in service, my heart's going to go hard, and I'm going to be a very difficult person to shape and form into the image of Christ. So the journey is about our devotion to God. It is about you being here worshiping. It is about you reading your Bible. It is about you praying. It is about you serving and helping others. It is about you praising God. Because when you do that, you remain soft putty, soft clay in God's hands. And also the journey is about God's strategic plans. To use every experience, every aspect of our life as an instrument, as a tool, to change us and transform us. Isn't it amazing how God can take every event, every experience, whatever it is we go through, no matter how good or how bad, no matter how bitter or how sweet, God can take it and use it as a means of transforming us and changing us in our life. You know, I don't mind the struggles of life because I know there are great tools and instruments in God's hands to do greater work in me. So I don't mind the struggles. I don't know about you, but I have learned very little in life from the things that made me laugh. But I've learned a lot in life from the things that made me cry. So I don't mind the struggles. I don't mind the bad times. I don't mind when things happen that sometimes I feel confused. Because I know that God is in the midst of that, working, changing, transforming, bringing about a Christ-likeness. And I'll promise you, I've been through some things, some very painful things in my life. And I would not go back and change any of that. Because it was in those painful things that my intimacy with God grew. I'm not afraid of the rain. I'm not afraid of the thunder or the lightning. Because I know that I need it. I know that I need it. Because I can't get from here to here without it. I don't need everything in my life being great and wonderful. I need God every once in a while to let some things in or let some things through that challenge me and struggle and cause me to struggle. Because that's how I get stronger. That's how we become more like Christ. There's a story told of, you may have heard this, of a woman one day working outside in her garden. She noticed this cocoon. And she thought she would take it and bring it in because she wanted to see it open up one day and this beautiful moth come out and turn into a butterfly. And so she took it and she put it on her windowsill in the kitchen where the warm sun would shine on it. And one day she kind of noticed it was moving a little bit. And she said, oh, it's getting time for the moth to come out. And so she noticed that at one end of the cocoon, there was a little opening that was coming. And she began to see the little moth begin to try to push its head through that very small opening. And she watched this moth struggle for a couple of hours, and she said, golly, I think I'm going to help the moth out a little bit. So she took it and she tapped it, and the little moth went back in. So she got some scissors and she cut the end of it off and put it back up there. And before long, the moth came out. It was swollen, and the wings were shriveled, just kind of moped around a little bit, and within a short period of time, it died. She thought, I wonder what happened. So she went and got her encyclopedia. Young people may not know what that is today. We still have a few around the house. I don't know why, but we do. Anyways, and she read up on the emperor moth. And what she learned is that God, or nature, however you want to say it, put this very small opening in the end of the cocoon. So when the moth would struggle its way through there, that small opening would force these juices in its body into its wings so that it would be beautiful and would be able to fly. And without the struggle, the moth would never fly. Don't be afraid of the struggles. Don't be afraid when things aren't working out. Don't be afraid when the doctor tells you something that you don't want to hear. Or when you find out something out about a child or a grandchild, don't be afraid. It's just part of the struggle. God making you into a beautiful person. God bringing you to a point in your faith you can never be there without it. You can never be there without it. So walking with Christ is what? It's about an agreement. Jesus, you choose the direction. You choose the pace, and you choose the distance, and I'll be right there with you. Help me to spend time with you, because I do believe that we become like those we hang around with. And I believe if we hang around with Jesus, we become like him. And also, thank you, Jesus, for keeping me safe. There's some mighty evil things in this world. And there's some things inside of me still that's not pretty. And so I thank you for keeping me safe from the world. And I thank you for keeping me safe from me. And I thank you for the journey. I thank you for the journey. Because I know the journey will help me become the person you want to be. I don't know whether you know, I have a good friend by the name of Wayne Horn. I don't know whether he used to pastor at Aldersgate. And Wayne is always saying, I thank God for my journey. I thank God for my journey. I thank God for my journey. I thank God for all the good and the bad, for all the sad and the happy. I thank God for all the pain and all the struggles, because it's all been worth it, all been worth it. Therefore, since you have received Christ Jesus as your Lord, do what? Walk in Him. Continue to live your life for Him, living a life that's always focused on and centered in Christ. Living a life where Jesus Christ is becoming everything to me. Living a life where Jesus Christ is becoming everything to me. I think that's what Paul meant when he says, walk in Jesus. Amen.